Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land, and welcome to another edition of the Music Video Land podcast from your super good friends at IMVDB.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam, I work on IMVDB, and with us as always is from Pompano Beach, Florida, Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. A whole squad on that real shit.
And then, again, north of the wall from Fringe Music Fix, we have our trusty sidekick, Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how you doing?
I'm chilling, but I'm also chilly. It's cold. It's cold here right now.
Yeah, you're north of the wall. Adam's in the Nunavut territory in Canada on a government grant internet. And then with us on the podcast, we have a really awesome special guest. We have Mr. James Lees. You have definitely seen his music videos, such as Counting Stars by OneRepublic, Black River by Wolfgang, which we talked about on the podcast a few weeks ago, Scare Away the Dark by Passenger. Those are just most recent ones. Just recently this week released a really amazing video for Take Me to Church by Sinead O'Connor. James, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
And, you know, to start off, we wanted to talk about this Sinead O'Connor video because, I mean, this is, first of all, congratulations on this video because this is a pretty fantastic video.
Thank you.
It is, you know, we saw on your Twitter that you know, Sinead O'Connor obviously is a, you know, very famous musician, and you saw on your Twitter that you were pretty excited to work with her, and she just seems like kind of, you know, in her performance and, you know, in her life, kind of a pretty intense person to work with. How was that experience working with her?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of impression we all have of her straight away. So kind of definitely went in with a bit of intrepidation and about what it was going to be like. But she was amazing. She was kind of really funny, really, really sweet and kind. And we just had a kind of amazing shoot day. Absolutely, you know, a lot of fun. She's got a really bawdy sense of humor. So, which at first just takes you off guard massively. And then you kind of get in the swing of it, and it just kind of lightens everything up. So she was really, really great to work with. And just amazing how she would just put her complete faith in me and was happy for me to just tell her where I wanted her to be, what I wanted her to do, and just completely trusted me. So it was a pretty special experience. And just seeing her perform, just watching the monitor, seeing her perform, it kind of just made the hairs stand up on the back of your neck, and you realize what makes someone a legend, you know, as opposed to just a really kind of proficient musician, but someone who's just a real legend. You know, she's been doing it for like a quarter of a century now, and you felt it immediately as soon as the camera started rolling. Her performance was just incredible.
Well, I was just going to mention that. So her new album that this is a single off of is it's, you know, you look at the cover, it's a very, very different image for it. It's called "I'm Not Bossy, I'm the Boss," and, you know, this the video has a really interesting intro to it where it's basically her, well, not intro, but the first portion of it is, you know, her face, it's dark all around her, and then the video from Nothing Compares to You is sort of projected on top of her. And, you know, it's one of those interesting things where, you know, she's dealing with, you know, referencing older work. And I'm wondering where that concept came from. Was that something you brought to her?
We had a few chats on the phone beforehand, and it was mainly like she was telling me about what, you know, I just said to her, like, what is the song about for you? And let's just talk through that, what it means to you. And she says she always writes her songs from the perspective of a character. So this was sung from a character that's very much based on herself. And, you know, she was just telling me about how she wanted to move away from this perception of her and what she used to be like, and how she's kind of explained to me, she just used to get all caught up in just writing about love, lost love, and things not being achieved and things like that. And she wanted to just start singing and writing about the kind of all the great things in life and all the things she has achieved with life. So it was an idea that she made reference to. Maybe we should show some clips from when she was younger, and maybe interview, like bits of interviews and other bits of music videos and this kind of thing to start the video off. And then as we transition into her now, which I thought was really interesting. But then that Nothing Compares to You is such an iconic clip. You know, it's got to be one of the, you know, top videos of all time, and one that I return to again and again. Just it's so simple yet so powerful, and I just thought it would be great to just use that video, because it is so iconic and because it immediately says everything we need to say just showing that video. And then as I kept thinking about how we could incorporate that video, the idea of just projecting it over her face now, so it's a very clear mirror of old Sinead and new Sinead. And so we're making a very obvious, doing it in a really obvious way of making that comparison.
And in terms of like what you guys were doing when shooting that scene, was there, were you guys like trying different things with the projection on her face, different looks? Were you kind of experimenting, or did you have something specific in mind that you were after when shooting that?
No, I think I'm quite specific. I knew what I wanted to get. I wanted it to be nothing but just that project, because the original video is just against a black background. I just wanted to take that, so it's just her head, and then just take her head now and try and, you know, the idea was to try and align the sizes of the projected head perfectly to her head. And we did a few takes because I'm just tweaking the timing every now and then, so that, you know, sometimes the eyes would kind of match up with her eyes, and then other times it would move across different parts of her face. And each take just gives a really different emotional connection. And sometimes you see the kind of old Sinead and new Sinead kind of perfectly sync up, which is really powerful. And then other times they kind of come apart completely, and you see them as two completely different entities. So I wanted there to be a certain confusion where at times it was clearly two different people, and at other times it was the same person.
And you talk about old Sinead and new Sinead, and you know, kind of the style that's established in this video, kind of that represents new Sinead. Where did that stuff come from, the style of, you know, just her personal styling, and then also in terms of the set direction and that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah, so they sent me, when they got in touch about me doing the video, they sent me the album cover and the single cover, where she's wearing this wig and she's got this incredible kind of PVC dress on, and you know, like everyone who's seen it was like, wow, well, that's Sinead O'Connor, that's crazy, that's amazing. And it was kind of really shocking, and I think they did that because they knew the effect it would have on people would kind of stand back and go, wow, that's Sinead O'Connor, she looks really different. But for her, it was really important that, you know, this look wasn't us saying, look, this is a completely new Sinead, this is the new look Sinead, this is what she's going to be like from now on. So the idea of throwing the wig off is that, like, look, it's still me, I'm still Sinead O'Connor, I've still got a shaved head, I'm not, you know, haven't grown my hair out and trying to look completely different. So we just basically followed the idea that they had with the album and the single cover to kind of let's get addressed in that as well, and let's kind of shock people and make people sit back and confound expectations a little bit. And then with in terms of the rest of the video, she was just very keen that it came across the song and the video were very joyous, very lots of energy. It wasn't perceived as being depressing, or, you know, she says she's always, the media always kind of read something dark into her, and she's always being kind of painted as this really dark, strange figure, and she just didn't want the press to have anything to kind of like cling on to. She didn't want it to be a dark, moody video and everyone just be talking about, oh, how moody Sinead is. She wanted it to be really positive and full of energy. So I just wanted, and she, you know, one of those things that she talked about was it being very colourful. So I just kind of took that and ran with it, really. And for ages, I've been really interested in infrared photography, and particularly when you shoot trees and the infrared light that reads off the chloroform in the leaves and creates these amazing colours. So I'd been kind of researching loads of images online and pulled loads out, and I just thought it would make a really beautiful, bright, colourful, different, interesting backdrop for her to perform against, because they were very keen for it to be just a straight-up performance video. And in lots of ways, it was, for me, a little bit of a nod to all of the videos I grew up in the 90s watching, where big, bright, saturated colours were the thing. And you know, it was kind of quite garish at times, but full of energy. And you know, think of things like Heartbreak Box, for example. So yeah, it's a bit of a nod to that.
And it's you talk about the energy, and the one thing that really struck me the first time I watched this video was just how energetic she is in her performance. I mean, you know, I think with performance videos not being as, you know, plentiful as they once were, there's a lot of kind of like kind of subdued performance, and it's kind of you know, really interesting to see someone who's just kind of like going full tilt for a video like this. You know, what was that, a direction that you gave her, or was she just kind of like operating on that level anyway?
I think we both kind of aligned on that, to be honest. I think going into it, it's something we both wanted to be. I really enjoy working with, I do lots of work with bands where there is kind of a powerful performance. And it's one of the things I really enjoy about the whole process, is just actually working with the band to get that really great performance. And sometimes I'm just there, stood behind camera, jumping around like a complete lunatic, as trying to kind of get that performance as big as possible. But with Sinead, it was, like I mentioned earlier, you know, it's just, you know, the years of experience, and, you know, she knows it so well. I barely had to kind of do anything with her. I would just ask her, like, maybe let's step it up this one, or, you know, can you focus the intensity on this point, and maybe bring in certain hand movements at this lyric and that lyric and that kind of thing. So we could focus on real details. Because yeah, once we got going, she was just electric. And
so, of the last couple of videos that you've done, James, I've noticed a little bit of a nature trend through some of them. There's obviously the trees in the set of the Sinead O'Connor video, the Black River by Wolfgang video that you did, that released back in June, takes place in kind of like a river swamp, Everglades type area, and then the Scare Away the Dark by Passenger video is a office setting that suddenly kind of has, you know, nature kind of suddenly kind of appear all over until the employees kind of end up in the forest ripping their clothes off. So I'm wondering, is it kind of coincidental that that nature kind of has shown up in the last couple of videos for you, or is that, you know, something that you've done intentionally?
Yeah, good point. I think it's probably just coincidental, to be honest. They're all kind of ideas from each idea for each video came from such a different place, completely unrelated. So I think it's just one of those weird coincidences.
Doug was hoping that you were part of some sort of forest association.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
We're an organization. I was looking to get fellow members, and if I was witty enough, I would have come up with a fake name for by now, and I have not been able to.
Forest Association.
That's fine. Okay, that's
they pay me a lot of money just to feature nature and forest.
Yeah, just keep putting animals and trees and leaves in your videos. All right, swing and a miss.
One of the other videos we wanted to talk about was a video that is in the top 30 according to Artcharts of music videos online by views, and that is "Counting Stars" by One Republic, which was released, I believe, back in May, the end of May. And you know, I was wondering about this this video because this is one of those singles that was released a few months before it kind of gained some traction, and I think it ended up, you know, in the Hot 100 in the top 10, but not in May, you know, sort of in, you know, June, July, a few months after. I was wondering, when you guys were making this video, you know, was there any sense that it was going to be kind of a hit at any point? What was the kind of mood on that?
I think there was there was definitely high hopes for it. I mean, it was a strange one. It ended up being like the fourth single from the album. Mm-hmm. So the album had been out for quite a while, and I remember chatting to Ryan, the singer, and after I'd pitched on it and everything, we met up in London. I was still living in London at the time, and we went for dinner, and he'd always felt it was like the biggest single on the whole album, but the record company wanted to go with some of the other songs as the lead singles. So it was weird. I think it was seen by the record company as a smaller release. So I don't think they were expecting it. Ryan felt that this almost was the one that had the biggest chance of being the biggest selling single on the album. So it was a strange one. It was such a slow builder initially. It kind of came out and just gradually all around the world just started getting hold and then kind of went haywire with it. But it did start out off quite small. Like, the budget was a lot smaller, and what we were trying to do, we were having to kind of restrict quite a bit. But it gradually grew and grew into a bigger and bigger project until it kind of became what it was. But I think it probably did take everyone a little bit by surprise, just quite how big it has become.
And it's interesting because I think it's the only video in the top 30 that has a small sort of preaching contingent to it.
Yeah.
If you look through any of the other ones, there's no preachers. Preaching to a small group of people. And actually, you know, while we got you, I think when this video came out, we talked about it on the podcast, and we're talking about what sort of group that was, whether it was sort of like an offshoot of a major religion just having, you know, a small meeting, or some sort of cult. Was there any, did you have an idea in mind for that?
No, I didn't want to be, it was kind of a fairly dangerous kind of territory. I didn't want to be too, I didn't want it to ever be perceived as too specific to a certain religion. So I wanted it to keep it quite generalized where I could. I mean, it's based on kind of videos and stuff that I've seen of crazy evangelical kind of services and all those videos of people being filled with spirits and it was, I suppose, I'm not really religious, and I didn't really come up in that much of a strong religious upbringing or anything like that, so it was just coming from lots of different influences of things that I've seen and felt, and I wanted to keep it that way because I didn't want anyone to ever go to watch it and go, oh, it's that religion, or it's that kind of put a label on it, as it were.
You want to avoid the dreaded music video appropriation claim.
Yes, exactly, absolutely, and as well, it didn't, you know, I didn't want it to be seen as being too heavily religious. You know, that was, it wasn't so much about the religion per se. It was more about the kind of mass gathering and the hysteria and everything that came with that.
And the lack of structural integrity as well.
Yes.
It's when you get down to it, the video is really about building codes. And I was wondering, this is kind of a dumb question, but where did you guys find this room? Because it's you know, we've seen videos in warehouses and stuff, but this room is so dusty and so, like, dirty and so interesting in the way it's sort of laid out.
Well, it was weird. We were chatting about where we were going to film it, and we kind of had to coincide a little bit with where the band were playing. And there was talk of LA, and there was talk of San Francisco, and then there was talk of New Orleans. And then Ryan and I were just like, surely it's got to be New Orleans. You know, that's going to be amazing. That's perfect for for the idea that I kind of pitched to them. They were playing playing some sort of concert down there, I think one-off concert down there, and so we kind of locked in New Orleans because we knew we'd be able to find some pretty incredible locations there that would fit that. And we spent quite a few days traipsing up and down all over New Orleans trying to find it. And we found this old, really old church, which is one of the oldest churches in New Orleans. And it's totally falling apart. And that's actually the basement where the band are playing, is actually the basement of the church. And before we started filming in it, it was like full of huge planks of wood and just like filled almost to the roof with crap. So it had to be completely emptied out. But it was one of those where you just walk in there straight away and you go, oh yeah, this is it. This is incredible. It just had so much character, and you know, it didn't really require any art direction as such. We actually had to just take everything out rather than adding anything in at all. We did rig up all the lights and that kind of thing. But apart from that, it was pretty much as it was. And we actually shot, it was actually a 2-day shoot, and we actually shot that band performance and everything on the first day. And the one thing we were having a real problem trying to find is the room that was meant to be upstairs where the congregation of people are. And we just still on the, we were shooting that first day and we still didn't have a location for the second day that I was happy with. There were locations booked that we were going to have to fall back on, but I just wasn't happy. And we'd got this weirdly, like the new church was across the street from this old church we were filming in, and we were having lunch in there, and I was just sat eating lunch on the first day and looking at this big curtain that went all across one wall, and I was like, what's behind that curtain? And I just kind of wandered up and I just pulled the curtain back and poked my head through, and there was this incredible wood paneled room on this stage in this thing. I was like, my God, we just spent a week trying to find this, and it's right in front of our noses as we're eating lunch. And I just kind of turned around and went, kind of shouted out, I found the room. And that was it, and that was where we shot the next day, and it was just across the road from the first location. So it was just one of those amazing strokes of luck and weird coincidences, and a lot of things on that shoot were just, there's so many lovely happy coincidences and how things all came together.
You should have a location scout credit on the video.
I should, I definitely should. It's crazy. I spend, because I'm a big fan of shooting in real locations. Like the Sinead video is probably only my second or third studio shoot. I love shooting in real locations, and that's kind of my thing. Every time we get a shoot, I'm just kind of driving people mad because we're just traipsing around from one place to another looking, and I said, I'm not quite right yet, let's keep looking a little bit more. Nice. Yeah.
And one, you know, obviously we watch lots and lots of music videos, and one of the things that kind of we try to look for now is when there's product placement in a music video. Obviously, anytime we see a Beats headphone, we know that's everywhere. A product placement. And at the beginning of this Counting Stars video, it's not really a product placement, but it's basically just a Chyron that goes over top, and it's like something about Shazam for more. And I'm just curious, like, do they ask you to do that and put that into the video, or is that something that you like deliver the video and suddenly it goes online and there's extra stuff on top of it?
Yeah, that was really weird because I just noticed that one day, because the video went up online and you know, that was never there. And then it's like a few months down the line that suddenly appeared. I was like, what the hell is that? And I kind of initially thought, well, maybe it's like just a temporary YouTube advertising that they're doing. But no, like nearly, you know, a year later now, and it's still up there and still come up. So I never knew anything about that, and I don't know what was involved in that, and you know, God knows what money they were kind of paid to just put that on. But yeah,
So
directors never have a choice and won't get told anything like that. You just get shit kind of plastered all over your video in right in the middle of it. So it's a little bit annoying, but there you go. Yeah.
So you never Shazammed for more, or?
I've never Shazammed for more.
I'm super curious now.
Speaking of product placement, we have some excellent product placement in some music videos this week.
That was a good transition.
I know, that was where I was working on that. I had a little notepad. I was like, product placement. But I should tell everybody, if you want to see the music videos that we're talking about in this episode, just go to imvdb.com/podcast, and there you'll find many, many episodes. This is episode 119, so they're not all worth listening to, but there's a few good ones. This is one of the good ones.
It's a good 80% that are worth listening to.
Exactly. You'll see, and you'll find a link on the in the show notes to James' videos on IMVDB, as well as James on Twitter, and a few other links as well, including the Sinead O'Connor video and the One Republic Counting Stars video. Let's talk about a few music videos, because this was an interesting, very interesting week for music videos and product placement, I think. And, you know, the video that I wanted to bring up first that deals with product placement is the new video from Miss Ariana Grande featuring Zedd, our boy Zedd, popping up in there, called Break Free, directed by our good friend who has been on this podcast, Mr. Chris Morris Player. I can't remember what episode number it was.
It was in the double digits.
And you know, if you've ever seen a Chris Myers Polaro video, you know these are very kind of, I wouldn't say goofy, but they're always very comedic. If you want to see like a classic Chris Myers Polaro video, you could watch Rock and Roll by Avril Lavigne, which has a lot of these, you know, kind of elements that come out of nowhere. And I thought this was a
pretty... He also did like a lot of the, you know, 2010 era Britney Spears videos,
right?
Where she's just like goofing off a lot,
pours milk on herself in a moving vehicle. That's the one. And this one features Ariana Grande as some sort of space warrior doing. Yeah, I don't know, Kinect. She's doing a lot of damage. She's rescuing people from cages. She's shooting things. Also floating in space. Also looking, you know, very put together while she's doing this.
And she's firing rockets from her breasts.
Yeah, right. Adam danced around that a little bit. She's shooting things. The only time she does that is when it's breast rockets, right?
Yeah, that can't be.
Call it what it is.
She seems so nonchalant about it too. She's just like,
right. She just does it like it's like something that's happening all the time. Like at least when Katy Perry did a similar thing with like the fireworks that came from the same
whipped cream.
Yeah, no, wait, didn't she do fireworks too in Firework?
Yeah, but that was sort of implied that it was coming out of her chest. It wasn't like video. Like it wasn't shooting out of her
I mean, whatever. You set yourself up when previously to that you're shooting whipped cream. I guess that's why I never got that video. So at least the whipped cream, she did it there. But like that's a big deal in that video. This kind of just like it happens and then we move on. But it's cool. Because it was necessary for the narrative.
And, you know, a few interesting things about this video. Number one, you know, I loved the problem video. And I didn't know that the two guys with white hair, like, are part of her, like, backup dancer team. Because they're in this video, too. They're in the cage. And, you know, they're being rescued and stuff. And then also, so you have this whole kind of thing. And if you watch it a few times, it revolves around this symbol. And she has to rescue this like amulet that the guy with the beard has in order to power up a spaceship, I think. But by the end, it's just like full on like a commercial for Beats headphones, which is hilarious. There's like a little monster, which is hilarious. You know, listening, you know, like making a playlist on an iPhone, and they've got the Beats pill. Ariana Grande is like jamming out to Beats headphones. It is basically, they could cut it together into a commercial.
Well, and that's something that Chris is like, you know, he never shies away with what, you know, because he will frequently work with large artists. And when you work with large artists, you know, they want to put Beats headphones in their videos, and he or cell phones or tablets or whatever. And he is always someone who will like just take it head on in the rock and roll video. They basically just like tag at the like stick at the beginning of the video, Avril Lavigne just like taking a phone out of a bucket of water that was like happened to be waterproof and just like answering the phone, and like it's got nothing to do with the video at all, and he doesn't care, and he just like takes it and makes it like a like almost a joke of the product placement. Like, I think it's very self-aware when Chris is doing that stuff, because yeah, it's very, very direct. They're not really trying to like, they don't really, it's just like suddenly everyone's got Beats headphones and they're dancing at this party, and that's the whole end of the video. But it's still like super fun, you know. It's at no point was I like turned off and like felt like I was being too pushed with this product, but it was very, very present at the end.
Kind of the best way to do it, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it, when you try and kind of make it discreet and make it fit into the story, it's just so impossible a lot of the time, and it's blatantly obvious. So I love the way he just completely embraces it and just has fun with it, and like you said, just makes a joke of it, really.
Right.
I think it's great. I mean, what better way to use that Beats iPhone app than to have a little alien compiling a playlist? I kind of think that's genius.
Right, they might run with that. You might see that alien again and just like, yeah, completely unrelated stuff. Nobody knows where it came from.
Genius. Yeah, I want to figure out, because that looks like a pretty well put together prop. And it's funny because Beats, they must fund a significant portion of the music video industry, and they are always pushing, you know, a few things, the headphones to a lesser extent, the pill definitely, but this feature on the Beats, you know, app that allows you to create a playlist from a sentence, and you'll see this over and over and over again in music videos, and you might, yeah, if you're looking at it, you might notice it and not really know what it is, but that's what it is. If you see like this iPhone screen with these words on it, that's what they're trying to get across. But they're never, it's never like a, this is how you use it. It's always just like, oh, this alien knows how to use it. Or like Future knows how to use it. You know, just, right, why don't you get on the train?
Ty Dolla $ign knows how to use it. I one time saw that put in a video that clearly was meant to be a one-shot video. The video is one take, other than they cut close to somebody on their phone doing that. So that means that the product placement, they're a little ruthless. They're like, I don't care that you wanted this to be a one take video. You have to have a close up on him using that app. So yeah, just going back to like, you got to embrace that stuff going in, because they don't care about your vision when it comes to getting that Beats imagery in there for certain labels or artists. We obviously don't really know what goes into that because we see it all the time.
That's a perfect example, isn't it? Like, you know, this selling the whole thing is a one take video. Yeah, this is great. It's brilliant. All one take, and then just kind of slammed right in the middle of it. It's just this random cutaway to it.
Right, and then back to that
Shazam for more.
Right, and then back to that same take.
Yes, yeah, and then Shazam.
Right, exactly.
And then one other video that had some interesting product placement was Iggy Azalea, Black Widow, and these are both coincidentally videos that are kind of coming off large videos for large singles. Problem for Ariana Grande, and then Fancy for Iggy Azalea,
and Problem features Iggy Azalea.
That's true, yeah. So here she is again. This is featuring Rita Ora, who is awesome, and I'm glad she's in this single. But this is a just like Fancy was a kind of homage to the movie Clueless. This is an homage to the movie Kill Bill, also directed by Director X. Iggy Azalea shares directing credit on it. But it, instead of being like just like a straight kind of homage parody of it, it starts out with Michael Madsen in a diner giving shit to Iggy Azalea because of a sandwich that he ordered. I'm not really sure where, you know, and then, like, the whole video is her fantasy of her killing Michael Madsen because he was rude to her, and I'm just not sure where.
I'm not sold on the intro. It was my only kind of issue with the video. They could have dropped that whole scene, but I guess they wanted to have some Tarantino-esque dialogue in there to kind of.
And they really did. It seemed like there was an effort to like do a Tarantino-style scene. It is interesting that they use Michael Madsen. Because Michael Madsen's in Kill Bill, but this isn't the same character that he's playing.
No. not at, well, a similar character.
I mean, he's playing Michael Madsen. List. Yeah, he's playing Michael Madsen, who he plays in everything.
But hold on, this was not like Kill Bill level dialogue. This was obviously Michael Madsen.
No. It was like everything. Right. But it was still like they were trying to make that happen. Like it was clearly influenced by I mean, obviously the whole video is Kill Bill influenced. I loved Fancy. I think Fancy was like spot on. This was a cool video. I really like the forest stuff. Coming right out of the diner.
He's great at recreating the scenes from the original movies. He's really good at that. This is really cool.
Yeah, visually, I really like it. You're right.
Oh yeah, like I said, everything after the intro was amazing. I wish it would have just started with the video. That's my thing.
So you liked? What did you think of Paul Sorvino? Adam and I had to like a slow debate on whether or not that was actually Paul Sorvino in the video. I like that scene as well. I like it because of T.I.'s face when Paul Sorvino gets kicked in the stomach. T.I. sells that scene. T.I. seems like one of the most fun people to on Earth. He just seems like that. I can speak in absolutes. My point on T.I.
One note for the whole panel, because I think this is kind of a crucial detail that the whole video hinges on. Michael Madsen orders a bacon sandwich, and the stipulation that he gives Iggy Azalea is that there's a lot of cheese.
Right.
Now, he brings her a bacon sandwich, which to my mind is built pretty much exactly to his specifications. And the whole video kind of hinges on him rejecting this sandwich. I can't believe I'm saying this.
It also hinges on the fact that her manager doesn't back her up. Right. And then like hits on him in a really weird way.
To which he doesn't really even hit on her back. Like, to me, the idea is to kind of paint him as this evil character that, like, both women will simultaneously want to kill. I don't really think they nailed that in that scene. It's weird.
Right, because Rita Ora is, like, his girlfriend. And yes. So and this isn't, like, new behavior for the Michael Madsen character. He's not suddenly aggressive and angry about bacon sandwiches. He's always angry about bacon sandwiches.
Oh, he's always on like.
And so, like, I don't even understand why Rita Ora is surprised at this point. She should. You're right, Adam. The beginning is not put together well.
Yeah, he's a dick, but he's not enough to like assassinate him. He's not a big enough dick for that.
Maybe in your mind he is. Maybe in your mind he is. Because, you know, Iggy Azalea just watched Kill Bill the night before. My question of this whole thing is what Iggy Azalea's director credit consists of.
Definitely the lettuce part.
She was like, listen, we got to have the lettuce. And then like, and by the way, that also means I'm a director.
He's like, should I chop it harder like this? And he's like, yes, director.
Well, if we just end with me just going crazy on the lettuce. And yeah. That's brilliant.
He's like, yeah, I guess. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Now, James, have you ever had like an artist like, and maybe something you can't divulge, but like want to share directing credit? Because that's something we see a lot more. I know none of your videos, I don't think, have artist directing credit, but have you ever run into that situation?
I've not, to be honest. No, I've not had that one. It is something you're seeing a lot more of, and I know friends that have had that. And it varies, I think, stories that I've heard from, you know, it's a genuine, the artist has, because quite a lot of the time, you know, the artist does have a bit of a clear idea of what they want to do with the video, and you know they put a lot into it, and it is quite a full collaboration. So I can really understand that shared credit. And then other times, I think it's just sometimes egos and that get in the way. And unfortunately, sometimes someone has to share credits with someone that might not really deserve it, but.
They want some like sweet IMDb credit.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what they want. Yeah. They want to be listed on the site. It does tie in a little bit back to Kill Bill because that is co-written by Uma Thurman, which makes a connection. My guess, and this is just obviously pure speculation, my guess is since they did a movie remake for their last video, Iggy Azalea called up Director X and said, hey, let's do it for Kill Bill. And that's why she got the director credit. That's my guess. That's my guess. That's what I'm. That's what I'm getting in the office pool. That's what I'm
probably
picking.
Pretty accurate, I reckon.
Pretty close.
I'm sorry.
I want to go from Iggy Azalea to – I want to go to this Daphne Guinness Genius video, yeah. Evening in Space. Can we go there?
Guinness, I think.
Guinness. Daphne Guinness, Evening in Space, directed by David LaChapelle.
Great title, by the way.
Evening in Space. This video is – this is in the running. Every year we do a music video superlative category. In addition to like our top 10 or top million list of the year, we do superlatives, and this is up there for ballsiest concepts possibly, because they go for it in this video for sure. This is a fantastic video, but it's kind of crazy, especially the stuff with the pink dude.
The Mill did the post production for this, and there's look at the credits, because it's this is almost all like 2D and 3D artist credits. So much stuff going on here, but it's shot by David LaChapelle, who is, you know, mainly I think more known as a photographer, still a visual artist, but I think he's probably more famous for his photographs and his music videos.
And there's photography associated with this video, the same characters and styles. If you go to David LaChapelle's website, I believe.
Yeah, it's kind of really classic Chappelle, isn't it? It's so over the top, really bright, colorful, incredibly over the top and ridiculous, mm-hmm. but really, really great fun for it. And I remember when I first watched it, I was like, my God, this song is absolutely terrible. And what the hell is going on? And then halfway through, I was going, oh my God, I love it. This is incredible. So it's kind of amazing. She's such an interesting character, because she's this kind of, I don't really know what she is. She's like an artist, a muse, a model. And then I think this is like only her second single. She suddenly decided in her 40s now to like become a pop star. And it's just, it's kind of like on the outside, it's absurd, because she's this kind of socialite kind of artist, but just works perfectly. And it's just approached in exactly the right way. But with all the background behind who she is and what she's doing, I think it's just the perfect approach. It's a bit of a kind of what the hell is going on moment. And we shared a lot of, there's a big color, the just bright big colors and the kind of bright pinks and ludicrous colors of that you kind of associate with Chappelle immediately. I loved a lot of his video. He doesn't do that many now, but no. He was quite prolific in the 90s, wasn't it? Like Dandy Warhols and people like that he worked with quite regularly.
Yeah, he did a for the stuff we have in the database for him. He did some Christina Aguilera. Yeah, like in the 2000s, early 2000s, he did a lot of pop stuff, like No Doubt, Christina Aguilera, Gwen Stefani, Jennifer Lopez, that kind of stuff.
As well as the Britney Spears video, 2004. And then he did a Mariah Carey video last year, Florence and the Machine video the year before. And then, it was kind of, at least in terms of for us in the database, we have a five-year gap. Last one prior was the Amy Winehouse Tears Dry on Their Own, which also is a fantastic music video. He certainly isn't doing a lot. And like this is a little bit – this is definitely a music video. It meets our music video database standards. But it's more of like a project where the song – and the video went kind of hand in hand, I believe, from how it appears to kind of have been pushed out there, and with the stills, it seems like an overall project, not just like your standard music video. I don't think he wrote like a treatment on a brief for this or anything like that. But so it's a little bit different approach, but it was still, it still fits. It's still a music video. It's like what you expect, but you're not at all what you expect either. Because it's really crazy.
I do agree that the song is an acquired taste. By the end, I was grooving to it, but by the beginning, I was like, "Oh no, please!" but it's like an acquired taste, like anything.
Because what you see is what you're looking at keeps you around. Anyway, like you don't bail on it because of what you see, and then
when the song's called "Evening in Space," I'm down to the end.
You're there for the full evening, and that's it. Well, I was going to move to I'm forcing this new segment into this show as much as you're going to resist it, Adam, because I wanted to try to do this this fun thing. We have a staff pick section on the website, and a lot of times it's either me or me and one of the Adams just kind of like, hey, what do you think? Yes or no? And, you know, sometimes, you know, I think it's fun to provide a little bit of insight on that process. So we're going to bring that into the podcast and have that discussion here over the Gold music video by Chet Faker, directed by Hiro Murai. And I think this is an interesting video to do that for, because we pretty much, you know, if you look back at Hiro's music videos, we staff pick a lot of them. He's, you know, he makes really fantastic music videos, and, you know, we staff pick him frequently. And, you know, we it's not because we play favorites or anything like that. He just makes great music videos. And, you know, we try not to take who made the music video into account and try to look at it just kind of like, does this music video deserve to be highlighted on the site or not? And so I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that with this video. And since I was talking to Adam Alexander about this specifically, Adam, I want you to first take us through this video a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, which Adam?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, well, by me?
No, Adam Alexander.
First we'll debate which Adam.
Yeah.
Let's do alternating sentences. Can you guys do that? No, Adam Alexander, let's get a little bit of insight into this video. What goes on?
Okay, well, first of all, I can't believe that this isn't staff picked. This has to be staff picked. So I'm just going to go on record as saying this is your worst missed staff pick yet. This is an amazing video.
It's important to distinguish that this is not a missed staff pick. It was a saved staff pick for this purpose.
For this exact debate.
For this purpose, we saved whether or not we were going to staff pick for this conversation.
I get to sell this video.
Yeah, you can do that, but also tell us what happens.
Okay, so basically, very simple. It's more of a performance-based video. And basically, all it is a road at night, and there's three very, very beautiful females that they basically perform sort of a dance routine on roller skates, and as you move along down the road. And then kind of as Hiro's been doing lately with a lot of his videos, there's a little bit of a reveal at the end, which kind of just nailed this one home for me. So kind of the idea is that or what I took from it was that maybe these girls because clearly so the person in the car that we see at the end is actually Chet Faker, and the vehicle's been in an accident, and there's a deer nearby. So I guess we're to assume that he struck the deer, and maybe he's in some state of delirium or some state of like an injured consciousness or something, and that maybe he's seen these three roller skating, very attractive women are kind of like apparitions to him, which kind of gave it like a mermaid feel for me. Like he might have just imagined that they were there in his state of confusion after being struck by the deer. I just thought it was a super cool kind of like a modern take on the mermaid myth. So yeah, this thing's amazing. Like the dance moves, the choreography is really good, and yeah, I just love this video. I thought it was great. Probably one of the best this week. Definitely, cool. Actually.
Choreographed by Ryan Hevington, who
cooler.
Yo, you didn't know that.
I didn't.
So Ryan Hevington, if you don't listen to this podcast, we talk about him on this podcast. He basically any music video that we talk about that has like really cool choreography, it's pretty safe to guess that Ryan was involved. You know, Chandelier by Sia, Arcade Fire, We Exist, you know, a lot of the music videos that we've talked about on this podcast.
So this video was produced by Doomsday.
Which is James, where James is.
James, you're at Doomsday right now.
I am in the office right now, indeed, yeah. And I think Hiro is actually sat in a room just down the corridor from me finishing off his next masterpiece.
Nice.
He's just perpetually churning out videos at a rate of one every 2 days at the minute or something incredible.
Yeah, I think he was doing four at once, and this was part of that four. And I believe the one he's doing now is also part of that four. I guess it would make sense. Yeah. He's been doing a lot of recently. He's been doing a lot of night stuff. He's done a lot of Knight stuff in the past as well, but you know, by no means is it what he only does. But recently, doing a lot of Knight stuff, a lot of one shot stuff or stuff that feels one shot. This video feels like it's one take, but obviously, at the beginning of the video, the sky is completely black, and then by the time the camera turns, or quote unquote turns, and goes back in the other direction, the sky is more lit up. And that's not how the sky works, I don't think. It changes that quickly. And also, I don't think deers freeze in the world. I don't think they just freeze like that in real life.
For a fact, that was a really well-trained deer.
Oh, really?
Wow.
That was a really well-trained deer that didn't move at all.
Are you serious?
No. Just because I'm British, you don't take it seriously.
Maybe in one room, you guys have a deer that does all your deer stuff.
All the deer stuff.
We spend when we're not writing treatments and making music videos, we're just training this deer to within an inch of our lives. It's going to make our money. That's what's going to really kind of. We're going to have the most incredibly well-trained deer that anyone has ever seen. It's just going to blow people away when it's ready. It's taking a long time.
Be like, yeah, we're using the money train of music videos to support us.
Exactly. Deer training is really expensive. I mean, it's not an easy task, you know. And
I wish this like deer thing would live in Doomsday forever. Like, it just shows up. You got to keep it showing up because
that would be great.
It's hard work. So I'm gonna agree with Adam Alexander. I think this should be staff picked for sure. You don't see anything like this. I mean, there's similar styles, but like just like conceptually, roller skating girls down a highway that reveals the artist who'd been in a car accident with a deer. Like, you don't see anything like that.
It's almost
that.
Like we've seen all the bits of it alone in other videos, but put together in the way that he has here, it ends up being kind of a unique thing.
And it's right? It's super cool, super unique. I mean, obviously super sexy, the girls are, and it's just flawlessly executed, just perfectly executed. So I have to agree with Adam Alexander that this does get a staff pick. And here's where the sound effect would go here.
I was just going to, just one point, I agree, but one point about this video is that didn't anybody get a Karma Police vibe for this? Definitely Karma Police reference for me. The Radiohead video from, I think, 1997.
I can see that influence. You see that influence quite a lot. I think it's one of those videos that is so iconic, and I think everyone who's ever seen it has not failed to be influenced by it. And yeah, it's one of the videos I see most often in other videos. Like, oh, it feels a little bit Karma Police, and that whole at night and the road and then the way that it's lit, that kind of like frontal kind of spotlight.
It's fun thinking about that being in the late 90s, that being such an iconic video that they were still making. I think there's iconic videos now, too. But, you know, when you think about... Anyway, I'm going to cut that out.
So
we have time for maybe, you know...
I think we definitely got to do at least one more. I think we have to... We put a lot of Doomsday videos in here, but that's because it was a super good week for Doomsday. I think we definitely have to talk about Lance Strakes. Steve Angelo featuring Dougie from The Temper Trap, Wasted Love, like we said, directed by Lance Drake. I think we have to talk about this video because this one kind of blew me away this week. How about you guys?
Definitely. And I think this is not a video you can just like kind of scrub through and understand. You gotta watch it. It's very cinematic in that way. But Doug, I don't know if I got everything totally, but why don't you give us a little rundown?
Well, man, I don't know if I got everything totally, but essentially it's a video game, right? And you like are following the character in a video game, and it just is kind of like the combination of effects and that went into this video. It just, that's kind of what blew me away specifically about it. Visual effects by Ethan Feldbaugh. James, help me out.
Feldbaugh.
James, you've worked with Ethan, right?
I haven't actually, but no, I worked on this video. Weirdly, I got a kind of panicked call from Lance like a few days before they were shooting, and they're like, "Oh my god, I've realised how much we've got to shoot, and it's just ridiculous." And we worked out we need to have like a second unit on one of the days. Would you come and direct the second unit? So I kind of went out to the desert and shot second unit for them for a day. So I kind of got to see some of the making of this kind of epic video, which was really cool.
So then maybe you can help us explain the rest of the narrative that I completely butchered just now.
Yeah, no, I think it's like you say, it's a video game. We open on the first guy who's we kind of pick him up as he's just, you know, lost at the video game, and we then pick up our new character as he starts the game and progresses through multiple different levels, and each of these levels he kind of gets past, and it's almost like building up to the big baddie, the big boss at the end, and then obviously we see him kind of game over for him, and then the final contestant is Steve Angello himself, ready to step into the gauntlet. The way that the levels kind of progress from each other is quite loose. Each one they've got to complete a task and move up onto the next level.
And for your second unit, what were you guys in charge of covering?
We did a load of we did some green screen stuff out in the desert. We did like the exploding head. We blew lots of things up, which was quite good fun.
So it's like, yeah, the Explodo crew, yeah.
Can you just blow everything up? Yeah, shit, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, in. Lance Drake, I will do that.
Yes, definitely. And then we shot a lot of the motorbike, the speeding motorbike through the desert, and the people running, some of the shots of them running through the desert. And then other times it was just kind of jumping on whatever they were running a bit behind on, and that we could pick up for them.
Doomsday killed this week. You guys are running all over the place.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of good times at Doomsday at the minute. We're kind of knocking a lot. It's just we've got this board. Danielle, our EP's got a board in her office with all the jobs. And I think like a month or two ago, the board was just, I had to like basically put up another board next to it to make enough room to fit all the videos that were being made at that time. Wow. And it's great, the kind of variety of videos as well, because everyone's such a different style of director and different influences, and there's so many different types of video coming out of the company.
And even the you know, last week with the This Is How We Do video by Katy Perry, directed by Joel Cafali.
And the Capital Cities,
I Sold My Bed But Not My Stereo by Alice Ball. Just amazing videos coming out of you guys right now.
And technically, was Sinead last week, technically, like Friday or something?
Yeah, it was. Okay. Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, I love the Katy Perry. I've been a huge fan of Joel. I was a huge fan of Special Problems. And I was really excited when he signed with Doomsday. Just been following his work for a long time, and he's such a great guy, and I just think it was a perfect Katy Perry video. It works so well for that song, and it's just really funny, it's really cool, it makes her look great, and just completely original and completely different, and just takes the song to a whole nother level. So I think Joel absolutely nailed it with that.
Agreed, definitely, and because I love that video. And if you want to see some commentaries, Joel Cafali was nice enough to hop on the commentary machine with us and did some really awesome commentaries. One for Royals by Lorde, which is a song you may have heard, that he directed. The video we're just talking about, This Is How We Do by Katy Perry, as well as Water Fountain by Toon Yards, and Tennis Court by Lorde, which I know, Adam, is one of your favorite Lorde videos.
Yes, it is.
And
it is.
And actually, that commentary is great. He, you know, it's just one shot of Lorde, but he really goes into the kind of really in depth of you know where that video comes from. So check those out. You know, if you go to the music videos on the site, you can click on commentaries, and we're heading up to our 100th commentary.
Ooh, we're on the way. We're getting there.
On our way. So if you hope you guys are enjoying those, because we're enjoying creating them.
Faves of the week. Okay, let's start with Adam Alexander. Favorite of the week.
Mine is, you're going to have, I just do a little cut in here because I can't remember the title of it right now in this moment.
It's so, Butterfly Satellite.
No, it's not that one.
I got it wrong. Okay,
It is another one that I would definitely back as a staff pick, and it is the Royksopp and Robin video for Monument, directed by Max Vitali. Yeah, so do I give a breakdown, or are we just doing name drops?
No, they got to go find that on their own.
You got to figure it out on their own. Just doing name drops.
Yeah. After Doug Staff picks it, then you can
Staff figure it. Well, it maybe I will. Own. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. I'll save it for a week. I won't really do that, but cool. My favorite video of the week, I'm going to do one, and we may have talked about it, but I want to take this opportunity to bring up the Matty Diaz Stay Together video directed by Claire Marie Vogel, because I like this video a lot. This is one of those videos where Adam and I talked about it, and that nobody gives a shit that happened. But we talked about this video. We discussed it over at Facebook. This is a great video. Lots of colorful lights, and that's why I liked it. Oh, man. Okay. Yep.
I'm just real quick over here. A video I think we didn't talk about that I'll direct you to is Arrows by Fences, featuring Macklemore. If you are a fan of very literal visual metaphors, then you will enjoy Macklemore diving into a pool full of Entertainment Weekly magazines with his face on them. So just to give you a little taste. Not to put you on the spot, James, but do you have a favorite from this week, excepting your own?
I'm probably gonna be biased and say Gold Chet Faker is pretty awesome, and obviously Wasted Love by Lance. And does the new Daniel Wolf video count, or was that the week before?
That was last week, but that counts because it was super good. So we'll let it count too.
It's just amazing to see Daniel Wolf back making music videos because he's simply incredible.
The Iron Sky Paolo Nutini video?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. We'll link incredible. To that as well. That's an amazing, amazing video.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot last week, and I watched it like 6 times since then. Adam Alexander, you were right. Anyone who listened last week and was on Team Adam Alexander, he was right in his reading of that video, I believe. So there we go.
I was scared when I gave my breakdown on that one. I thought I was
No, you were right, dude. That was crazy. It.
Well, there we go. I think we covered it. Like I said, if you want to check out the links in this video and from this podcast, go to imvdb.com/podcast. And while you're there, of course, check out all the awesome stuff we've got at IMVDB. We add hundreds of new videos a day. Some of them new, but a lot of them back catalog. You can even contribute to the database. We're getting a lot more people coming on board to help us add information. A lot of people sending us stuff. So we're growing, and we think it's a pretty sweet spot to watch music videos, but whatever. What do we know?
It's the only place to watch music videos, guys. Yeah, the only place.
Nice.
Tomorrow morning, the whole homepage is just going to be that quote, James. James, thank you so much for this. Is a great week to have you on with all the awesome Doomsday stuff. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having us. Really, really glad I could join you. It's been great fun.
And we'll catch you guys next week. See ya.